shit.
WNBA, man. That's I didn't want to talk about it, but we got to, because we got to address it. Somebody got to hear it.
Okay, so let's get into it, because, like, I see, only thing I know about WNBA is from Twitter. Like, I'm not going to sit here and cap and act like I give a fuck about women's basketball. I don't give a fuck about that shit. That shit trash. I seen somebody post a shit say Caitlin Clark would have 15 assists if she played with the Aces, which I guess that was the last year's champs, right? Like back-to-back champs, I think. Las Vegas Aces, I think.
Man, I don't know who the champs.
I don't know either. I don't pay attention.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure. Because, I mean, you see some of the chicks. Because I know the Asia Wilson chick and Darren Waller, ex-wife now. I can't remember shorty name. She's Darren Waller, ex-wife.
What are you talking about? I forget her name.
Yeah, Plum. Something Plum, Kelsey Plum, Caitlin Plum.
I think Kelsey like Plum, Ashley Plum, Kelsey Plum, like that. I think.
One of them typical white chick names, Plum, right? Insert Heather Plum, Ashley.
I didn't know she was married to Darren Waller. You talking about Darren Waller who just retired?
Just retired, yeah. They were only married like a year. They wasn't like married that long. So I mean, I know a couple of these names and shit, but yeah, I saw this low lights, and every time she was giving like the easiest entry pass, bro, they just missing these bunny hop, just easy off the backboard shit. And I'm like, this is pro basketball.
Yeah, that make you want to turn it off. I'm not turning this shit off. It's the layups that do it.
It's a trash product. I'm going to keep it book. It's a trash product. I'm upset because it's like, as much as y'all trying to push and force Caitlin Clark on us, it's a trash product. She does nothing to make me say I want to turn the TV on to watch basketball.
The college women's was better than the WNBA scene. Like, that was more exciting.
Yeah, because you know what? College is more value. The WNBA don't have no value. For one, I didn't even know they didn't have. They barely got teams. Like, I'm looking like, why are these people playing this team already
four
like
times in the last 8 days, yeah.
The season has started, like, so I'm like, wow, this is the problem y'all forcing us to watch.
Like, I think it's only like 12, 14.
Let's be honest, fellas, dude, we gonna come from a man perspective. Let's be honest, I don't want no manly looking chick on the TV playing basketball. I'm gonna be in the book, like a man. I don't want to see it. Now, she looks sexy. Oh, yeah. Hey, I don't care how sharp she is, but she's sexy. She's sexy.
But you know what? Nobody can't even come at your neck for that, because, first of all, let me say this real quick. It's only 12 teams. I just Googled it. It's only 12, which is really sad. That's just not enough teams for a fun competition. You need at least 20. You need 20
to be in a professional league.
You know, like, yeah. Who gives a shit that you won back-to-back? You beat out 11 teams. Like, that's not that impressive. I'm sorry. That's rec league shit. Right? And then, two, you're not wrong about the sexy, because that's all they pushing, bro.
They pushing that on social media now.
Every time I pull up on social media, and these chicks is going out their way to market sexy. It's all about skimpy. Like, matter of fact, the Kelsey Plum chick I was talking about, she came in the other day, had the leather jacket on with no bra on. You know what I'm saying? You know, doing her thing. She looked good. I'm not hating. But you absolutely right. Like, the whole marketing strategy at this point is, look, it's two things they got going. The Caitlin shit, because she's the hottest thing out of college. And her rivalry with Angel Reese. And then sex appeal. Everything is about how they coming down the runway. You know, which they bit from the NBA anyways. Because, like, the NBA made that a big thing where you come in and you got to see what the fuck, you know. Russell Westbrook got on that looked crazy as shit. Dwayne Wade got on something real spicy and salty today. Like, you know, they just took that whole wave, you know, and flipped. And I mean, hey, listen, sex sells, so it makes sense. But don't get, this is my thing about sex selling. And I shout out to the sex workers, bro. I really do. I got no problem with y'all. I appreciate y'all. You only getting money because we out here giving it to you. So don't get mad at me for buying it. That's all I'm saying. If the product is for sale and I buy it, why are you mad? Why is anybody mad at me for paying for what has been advertised and sold to me. So
I ain't never
You're right. Like that. Really, to be honest with you, I only want to turn on WNBA to see something that looked pretty, you know, get a little hoop on. But let's also keep it real. At least half of that league is rough and garbage tumble tomboys, you know, that look like me. And a great deal of them are, you know, in the LGBT community,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, in the alphabet, yeah, LGBT.
Alphabet League. Yeah, so it's just not that sexy, which is why they pushing the little bit of sexy they got. Now, the Caitlin Clark thing, it's fun in America, too, because it pushes that other car, right? Now you got the race car thing.
Yeah, the race car. Now, that's the one I'm really upset about, it because I'm like, okay, instead of just saying, okay, she's a good player, Reese is a good player, they making it a race theme. Oh, well, she's getting fouled hard. And she, what the fuck you mean? Everybody getting fouled the same damn way. It's just because y'all looking at the shit more now.
Yeah.
Because if y'all wasn't looking at it, guess what? Y'all wouldn't know who getting fouled. And that's just the plain simple. Y'all only watching it because y'all feel like she's.
I feel like most of them girls hate her, though.
Hype version, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That
I do feel like most of them girls hate her.
Both things can be true. Yeah, I agree. I think most of them hate her, too.
But she's the one who bringing the a lot. Well, I don't want to know how a lot more money, but she's bringing more attention to the league. So you got to.
Meezy, look at it like this. You've been doing something. You've been teaching or hustling, whatever. You've been doing it for a while. You've been good at it. Nobody really give you the recognition. Somebody comes in the same field or whatever you got going on, and they throwing all the hype that way, and you're still better. But you're saying, well, damn, y'all not even worried about what I brought to the team.
Yeah, but what if – But them girls ain't getting paid that much, and then that other person bringing in a lot more attention, that's more money you could be profiting from that you wouldn't be getting if she wasn't in the league
just
too.
Don't acknowledge that and say, okay, well, it's everybody. Don't just say it's her, because they watching it because of her. But still, we here
right now. It is her.
Like, don't just
so,
don't
that's
just
what I'm saying.
Don't leave us out. Like, we here. So,
I agree. Like, because like you said, like we all know Caitlin Clark. We can't name 5 WNBA players.
I named Caitlin.
And we couldn't really name, we couldn't name five before this season.
No, and that's what I was about to say. You got to remember, them two is because of the go back to college and the hot rookie, you know, sensations.
And we know about two of them because the one was with
the two that I know, they retire.
Cheryl Swoops.
And
I'm talking old.
And what's her name? Who just retired this year?
Is she the one who went to Connecticut and married that dude?
No, the one that went to Tennessee. She be on the TV with the dudes on ESPN. What's her goddamn name?
Not Maya Moore. Shit.
No, I said Maya Moore. That's
no, one of my girl from Connecticut.
Connecticut, from Tennessee, man.
Tall, brown skin.
Like red skin.
I know who he talking about, man.
See, this is the point, though. This is the point.
Yeah, we don't know her name.
goddamn, with the skin. You know what the hell.
Man, I'm about to
pull her. That's what I'm saying, though. We don't know them.
And I used to like the WNBA when I was, like, a kid.
Back in the day. When it first came
out. And that's because I'm a Rockets fan. And when the WNBA first came out, the comics won the first four titles. But then I got kind of bored because I was like, yo, we bad better than everybody. Like, this ain't no fun. It was no level of competition. Because I knew at the time.
Candace Parker.
Yeah. Oh, she married a dude from Duke. And then she in the women now. I knew she liked women when she fought with him in the first place.
I'm a Duke fan. He always looked a little
slow. You know what I mean?
He look a little spicy.
And not hate him when you say a nigga ugly. When we all got ugly friends, nigga, we tell them to their face. You be like, boy, you ugly as shit, boy. You don't be hating on him because ugly niggas be getting chicks too. So it ain't like, you know, not hate. I just be calling it like it is, nigga. You ugly. So I was like, something suspect about this shit to begin with, right? So, you know,
and for Maya her to Moore come out eventually. And Maya Moore, the one who married a dude from prison, right?
Who?
Maya Moore. Remember Maya she married Moore, that dude from prison or something?
She went hard to get cuz out of prison.
She
I wonder
did,
why.
Bro. She was fighting for like 2 years.
Yeah, then she married a nigga. I'm like, oh, no wonder.
That shit was weird to me, though.
Such a social justice warrior. It always be about a nigga, man.
Right, bro. I was like, yeah, there's a vendetta about this somewhere. There's a reason.
Right. I ain't gonna hold you. I could have respected that shit a whole lot more if she ain't married a nigga. That shit.
Yeah, when she married her, I'm like, bro, all that work you did, now everybody looking like down. Like, you just wanted a nigga.
You just another job. Goofy.
Yeah,
just
I got to do what goofy. I got to do to get this nigga out.
The falling for that prison rap. Boy, that prison rap be strong.
It do, bro. When I when I saw he married my mom, I'm like, bro, this nigga hitting like a gold mine. Like, and this nigga just did a hard 15 and right. Get out and marry Mile Moore, bro.
Boy, them niggas in prison, boy. Them niggas yeah. Rap be strong. Them boy be ain't got no other choice though. I don't blame him, boy. You trying to get up out of here. You trying to have at least somebody write you a letter, send you some pictures in.
Somewhere to stay when I get out this bitch.
Yeah, yeah. On the day that I could possibly get up out, yeah, I need somebody, man. I need somebody to let me sleep in this shit. Cause I'm not gonna have no job.
No nothing. You ain't gonna have no nothing.
Nothing, bro. Unless somebody give you some money and shit to upstart something. Like, I'm sure she probably on bankroll cuz and start like a little trucking company or something like that.
Yeah, believe that.
Man, I ain't mad at it. That's just funny though, cause like it definitely came off like, oh yeah, she just fighting for a man who's been done wrong. Nah, she fighting for her man.
Her man,
her fucking man. But shout out to her for fighting for a man, standing by dude, cause he was allegedly innocent. So you know, more power to her for that shit too. But see, I mean, and see, this go back to what we were saying on music. Shout out to Kevin Clark. We wouldn't even be having this conversation without this chick.
Hey, I'm sure a lot of people didn't even know Maya Moore married a nigga who did a hard 15, 20 in
exactly.
Prison.
You just said like, oh, shit. Like
right.
They Googling that shit right now.
Yeah.
Thanks to one chick.
Like, ain't hated no way.
Love it. She, you know, like X said, the great white hype. America been waiting on this for a minute. They can't get it with the men. They can't get the white boy that's just like.
That's another thing about it too, yeah.
They don't have a white boy that could just go out there and just like be a Anthony Edwards, be in that top.
And if he is white, he's gonna be from overseas.
Hey, he's from Europe. Yeah, American born. They want an American born white male that can, you know, carry the torch for the league, or they're not even carry the torch, just be a top 10 guy.
I think the woman got mad too about that Nike deal she got because that was a crazy deal.
Yeah, but it's marketing, and so that's just what it is. Like Zion got a crazy deal too. Zion ain't one of the 10 best players in the league. It's all about hype, man. And the hype is around her right now. So, you know, like as you're saying, if you're a hustler, you're a baller, blah, blah, blah. I ain't hearing Asia Wilson say nothing. And she the best player in the league right now, to my understanding. She been hooping her ass off and you know, trying to take her team to another title. She ain't on that bullshit. She just how they playing ball. So, like, with Angel Reese, I'm like, you could play the villain because you want to, but don't play the victim. Don't play the victim. You
I think it's a thin line. People getting it mixed up about that.
Yeah, and then well, see ones like they sexualizing me, and then I'm like, yeah, but then you posted a TikTok cast of your pussy that you got made. Like, come on, we sexualizing you, and just going back to what I'm saying, selling sex and then mad people buying it. That doesn't add up to me. You put that out there. Nobody put that. You putting out the swimsuit, you know, stuff like that. That's playing that. Sell it. That's fine. That's what you should
do. I think that was just her being young and didn't really like, I don't know.
But you can't be both. You can't make it out both sides of the night. You saying we're doing it. She's saying we're oversexed. Like we're doing it. No, you chose that route. You could have chose, you know, they're going to over-sexualize to an extent no matter what because they keep trying to tell me Caitlin Clark, fine. That's just not true. And that's no shot at her. But it come with the game. So everybody, when you get in that,
they trying hard too.
Oh man, they trying real hard. That's the line I'm gonna draw. That's definitely
they trying
line
real hard.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Right. Me and my homeboys were arguing yesterday about Angel Reese. I'm not saying Angel Reese is ugly. She's not. She's not an ugly woman at all. She's not exceptionally pretty though. I said, man, Savannah is full of Angel Reese's. They just 5'6". You know what I'm saying? 5'5". So I was like, I'm a face guy. So if your face ain't crazy, then. You know, no offense. You You're a nice looking young lady. That's it. But they trying to act like she's just the baddest. I said, y'all going for the hype machine and the marketing and shit, bro. That bitch is not, excuse me, that young lady is not like that. She cool, bro. I try not to say bitch like in that respect. In that way, I say bitch all the time. When I don't
want to say, I know, I be getting caught up with that shit.
Fuck it, said what I said. It is what it is. I ain't mean no disrespect.
Nah, man, but I think, again, you know what I'm saying? The WNBA, it's a trash product. Like you said earlier, Larry, like, they be wide open at the basket and they still missing. Like, what the fuck? Like,
not so
they got two, look, I didn't even know they got 12 teams. That's a fucking tournament you go to a camp for. Oh, we got a camp. 12 best teams finna play and see who get to. That, what the
double
fuck?
Elimination. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I didn't know they had 12 teams. I thought it was 20 at least. But shit, 12.
Because what happens is they keep moving. That's why you pay getting more teams. So in the past, these teams were in these other NBA cities, but they just, the city gave up. Like, bro,
the expansion teams, they not, like you said, they just moving and changing their name. Right. You get another team popped up.
Yeah, like,
I don't think Minnesota got a team on them.
They used to be the Lynx, right?
Mm-hmm. He had a team called Miami Soul. You know what I'm saying? And
right, exactly. That you never took the time to even think about swinging by. You drove right by that arena. You seen it was easy to get in. You say, shit, what's at the arena tonight? The Soul? Oh, shit, nah, man. I was going around here to Applebee's. You might as well go to Friday. Niggas don't even go to Applebee's to Friday.
Hey, Larry, you know what's funny? What you just said? Washington got a team. And it was like about a month ago. I was talking to one of my coworkers. Like, she started watching WNBA. She was like, oh, the stadium's like right there. And she told me, I was like, damn, bro, I live like 8 minutes from there. And like, looked up the tickets. And I was like, man, I'm not going to this shit, bro.
Nah, it's free to go down there.
Yeah, it was like $8. I'm like, nah, bro, I can't, bro.
It's a trash product. You know what I'm saying?
How they making money? The ticket's $8.
It's crazy because they were saying, you know, they was trying to make the argument about, oh, well, these players deserve the same amount of money in the NBA. I'm like, what? Anybody watching that shit for them to deserve nothing? You know what I'm saying? You're not waking up and saying, oh, man, I got to make sure I get me a WNBA basketball ticket. You're not saying that. You're saying, they're giving these shits away.
How the basketball look, bro. Fuck out of here. This shit orange and white.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way. What's the girl name? The best player was, what's her name, Wilson?
Asia Wilson, yeah.
She's no way bringing in the same amount of views or money that LeBron James bringing in.
Not even close.
She's not even bringing in as much money as Caitlin Clark, to be honest, which is crazy.
No, forget Caitlin Clark. Just take the lowest, the trashest nigga in the NBA. Don't nobody want to see. She's not doing that.
Johnny.
Yeah, she's not doing that. It's
Johnny,
like,
12 beat. Johnny barely on the bench. Right.
The product is trash. You know, when the product is trash, the product is trash. You know how they go. Don't nobody want to buy the product when it's trash. So it's like,
Minnesota still do got a team, by the way.
A hot product. And we're not just talking about sexy women. We're not just talking about Caitlin Clark. We're talking about actual having team players on your team that's fucking good. Not 10 players. Okay, well, 5 of them kind of look good. The other 5 is decent.
Bro, I just saw this chick. Because as I Googled this, right? I just saw this chick. She looked just like Peyton Manning. Y'all know who it is if you follow the game at all. It's just not selling, bro. I'll send it to the chat so y'all can see. Y'all can see I'm not even exaggerating, bro. I dead ass thought that was a dude at first. It's just not gonna sell the same. And you know, shout out to my man Bill Burr, because he said, you know, he's one of my favorite comedians ever. He was like, I ain't worried about feminism. Feminism, it depends on men too much. And why I say that to say this, the WNBA is failing because women don't like the shit.
I figured this is who you were talking about.
You know who I was talking about. Yeah. I ain't even going to say her name. But
I don't even know, and I forgot her name.
It's hard to pronounce. But anybody who's halfway familiar, you know just what I was talking about. But hey, the thing is,
let me ask you, hold on, let me ask you this question. I'm gonna ask you this in YouTube music. Let me ask you the question. So, you want to take a chick out on a date? You'll take them to a basketball game, an NBA basketball game, right? You'll be like, baby, I got some pretty good seats. You finna go watch Larry Orlando, so you finna go watch Orlando play somebody. Meezy, you in DC, so y'all finna, you finna go watch who the team up there?
The Wizards.
The Wizards.
Okay, we finna go watch the Wizards play. I'm in Miami, or we finna go to the Heat. The chick gonna be like, hell yeah, let's go. But now you say, hey baby, NBA tickets, baby.
She gonna be like, Dan, that's how you feel about me, like,
right?
You would take me out to eat for some shit like that. Man, like,
we could have went to Arena League football for this shit.
Yeah.
Man, listen,
people show up for
but that's another
football
problem, though, too. Like, a lot of people are, like, talking down on it, but the women ain't really watching that junk for real,
yeah,
bro.
They don't care nothing.
They're not watching it. They not. It's 1 out of 10. They might have gained an extra follower out of 10 women. You know what I'm saying? Like 1 out of 10. They ain't following that. They ain't watching that shit.
That was the point I was making. It needs men to keep the shit afloat. It's 50% women, or actually a little bit more than 50% women on the planet. How come nobody's showing up these games? They full of shit. They talk all that good shit, but you won't go. Just like XC.
And it's cheap as hell, too.
That girl gonna be mad if you be like, oh, we're going to the basketball game, and you pull up, and it's the, well, Miami's so long now, but you pull up to the, who the fuck is the teams? It's one in your area, right?
It's the Mystic or some shit.
Yeah, the Mystics, yeah.
And it's like in like a, it's called like, the arena's called like the Washington, the fucking.
Oh, they don't even play in the same joint?
Hell nah.
I'm telling you, she gonna go on Twitter and talk about you, girl.
This nigga said we going to the game. Put her to a high school basketball women's game.
She gonna be slamming you out on the top of
the DC Women's All-Star game. She pulled me up to that shit.
She might like you a little more if you take her to the high school game than the WNBA game.
Right.
You might have some type of involvement with the high school game.
Yeah. Like my little cousin, man, you know, we just gonna go so far.
This nigga must have got some free tickets because this is the only way he taking me to the WNBA game.
I'm sitting on the radio. She's slapping in your back. Yeah, you just vibe and trying to enjoy your time, bro. Every time you look over, she on the phone, just, you know, sending them off. Find your ass up. She joking over.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be like, the chicks that men are very attracted to give less than 1% about the fucking WNBA. They don't care.
Exactly. That's just what it is, man.
They worry about, man. You can't get us no NBA tickets.
What?
You can't get us
courtside watching, you know, heavy rappers. I get you courtside at WNBA, baby. Shit, I can get you a couple of minutes in that game.
We might be able to go in the locker room after the game.
Shit, $120. You get in for 3 plays. We get to go in the locker room. You know, have a player experience. You put a jersey on. They put your name up above a little locker. Everything. You know what I'm saying? You get to hold the trophy like Kobe. All that, man.
And
you know what I'm saying? 120. She'll still pass. She'll take a nosebleed to the Golden State Warriors game before she'll take that fan experience. Yeah, that's just what it is, man. Anyway, shout out Caitlin Clark for having us waste 25 minutes or so talking about some shit. I'm still not going to watch it. That's the best part about it. And that's why you got to give up the old girl, because I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't for her. And I still not going to watch the shit, but she did get the conversation rolling, man. So shout out to her. Get money. Be smart. Get the money around her.
At least she's giving us that awareness to say, to have that conversation. Because if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have this conversation.
Yeah, man. And y'all, everybody else in the league, take advantage. Ride the wave. You know what I'm saying? Steal the wave. You know what I'm saying? Because the hype's going to die, and she going to continue to the upper level of play anyways. Yeah, she's going to die because we don't really give a shit. Nobody gonna care in a year. She could be the best player in the league in 4 years, and we be like, oh, it worked. That's what's up.
And she could average 30 a game, and still ain't gonna watch.
Yeah, I'm still not watching that shit. It just
if she becomes the best player in the WNBA soon, her side of the fan base, yeah, they gonna watch it. They gonna watch it because they, you know, they always want to be better than.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Shout out to the racist motherfuckers that just hoping that this gonna be the one.
There's a lot of them. You gotta believe that it's a lot of them.
If it's the one, bro, it's in WNBA, not the real one. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. If you really think about it, like, the best y'all got is a girl. So, don't be racist. Or sexist, but fuck it, I said it. All right, man, let's talk some real ball. Fucking dumb. You gotta love it, man. You gotta love this shit. I'm like, yo, I'm seeing all these low lights. This is trash.
And like Larion said, shout out to Caitlin Clark because there ain't no way in hell we would be having this conversation.
Ever. So let her get her money. Y'all be smart, get money with it. We'll start at the.
I look at it like this. I don't care, man, because I don't even watch the shit. That shit has no effect on my life.
It's just like everything else, like you said. It bring a little racist out. You know, you're gonna see that pop up. But
yeah, oh no, it's gonna show you who's racist. Cause
yeah, they're gonna pop up.
A little off topic, but it's crazy because even with the NBA, with Luka and then Joker, you know, it's like they saying, "Oh yeah, boy, we got the best players in the NBA now," and I'm like, "What?"
No, you don't.
Because they doing. Cause they doing shit that niggas been doing for years. Like, okay,
man, they're European.
Yeah, they not even. Yeah,
they not American born whites. Larry Bird said years ago. He said we need an American born white superstar. You know, then he right to take the game. Like it's already up there. I mean, obviously, but you want to see that shit go to another level, man. These MAGA motherfuckers will be behind that shit. So hard, his jersey will go through the roof. He ain't got to endure shit. Because it's motherfuckers that rock with the Bosa boys just because they know they MAGA and they right wing types. They pumping them just because of that.
And Larry, now, you a Duke fan too. That's why they pumping the old boy so hard too. They're talking about going to be the next LeBron, a white boy. Connor. Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. Bro, nice, but no, that's at his level. I got to see it at every level. Yeah. You can't be LeBron with something super special.
Yeah, they pushing that, trying to get ready for it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he do it, great. And again, watch. We'll see flag for flag. And
the NBA looking for
flag for flag.
The 2024-25 version of Larry Bird.
What the fuck?
If Larry Bird play right now, boy, they would go crazy.
And Bird played in Boston, bro. Like a great city, you know, because Boston is kind of known as the racist capital of the North.
Like you said, if they could get a homegrown white American to play in the NBA, they going to go crazy because they saying, oh, yeah, well, we finally got somebody that's better than everybody I got. You know what I'm
saying? And guess what? I'm going to go with him because – even before he was with my Niners, I love C-Mac. Why? Because it was fun to see a white boy play running back. Don't see that shit. You won't see it again probably for another 20 years. Or, you know, you just don't see a dominant white running back. What's my man? Cooper DeJean out of Philly. Now, we'll see what he do. If he get cooked up or whatever out there, we're going to find out pretty soon. But it's fun because it's different. So, you know, we'll see how that shit all ends up playing out if they were to get that guy. And I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see the white guy that's, like, really a top 10 player within the next 10 to 20 years. I think he'll see it. He'll be a top 10 guy. But it's just, again, it's going to be the great white hype. It's going to be that flash. And then it'll still kind of die back off, and you're going to have to wait a minute for another one to be of that same, you know, superior play.
You're gonna have to keep getting, you're gonna have to get one like every other 5 years, you know what I'm saying? Because
it'll be generational, it'll be every generation. Like, okay, cool, it's another one. Every 25 years, you'll be like, oh, it's another top 10. Never the best, I don't think it'll ever be the best, That's just my humble opinion. I just don't think you'll ever see that, not from America. Because you could get a joke of that if you wanted to, but again, he ain't from America. But and Luka definitely can't be that. Because he just, he the reason the Mavs got cooked so fucking bad. His defense is just, it's a liability once you get down to real championship football. He becomes a liability.
I kept asking them, and they thought I was racist when I asked that question. I was like, I said, you can't be the best basketball player if you're sorry on defense. And they were like, oh, you already said because he white. I'm like, no, he's sorry as fuck on defense. That ain't got nothing to do with it.
Even people that get overlooked, like if you talk about Steph Curry, his defense gets overlooked. That's a great defender, but he definitely gets you a few rips here and there game. He's gonna get you a few steals, easy buckets. But Luka was just constantly in this series, especially, he was just the victim of abuse the entire fucking time. And you know what's funny too? We talked all that time about the WNBA and the fucking NBA finals just happened. We ain't even mentioned that shit. I forgot about that. That's how
anybody really care about it. Cause for one, Boston.
Unless you're a Boston fan. Like,
goddamn Boston.
Yeah, I don't like the Celtics. So yeah, I forgot them boys won. Plus the series.
I forgot
they
won too.
The series was no fun. You expect the finals out of the finals. You expect some of the most competitive basketball you could get, and we got. We got ass whooping every game. It was just ass whooping. I'm like, yeah, this isn't exciting basketball.
They just lost that game because they didn't give a fuck so they can win that shit at home.
Yeah, at home. Yep. That's exactly what it felt like to me. Exactly what it felt like. Because the way they were kicking their ass, I was like, oh, man, if they want the full of this shit, this should be over.
That nigga losing by like 40. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Man, I watched one game. Because every time I thought it scored, it was a blowout. I'm like, shit ain't about nothing, man.
Man, what blew the playoffs?
If Dallas would have won game two, they would have had me locked in. I would have been in then. I'd have been like, all right, let's see what we got here.
Right.
Yeah, Dallas had to win them two games at home. If it would have been 2-2, then you would have been good. But the playoffs were just bad this year because everybody was hurt. Every team Boston played, the best player was out.
Yeah, going to the finals.
On the east side was just bogus. Like,
yeah.
Embiid gonna get hurt. That's just
Jimmy Butler. Just to show the sun come up, right?
Right.
Halliburton got hurt in the series. Yeah. And then Donovan Mitchell got hurt.
Boston was hands down the best team by light years on the East.
But it should have been healthy. Just better ball though, period. Yeah, like I was saying, because it was just so many injuries that you just didn't get the series that you should have got, even if they were healthy.
Them two games they lost, they were just fucking bored.
Yeah. I don't think Boston would have been better than a healthy New York team. Because don't forget, Bogdanovich was out, Julius Randle was out, and it was somebody else out. They had Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, like three stars.
They had three players out.
And OG got hurt. Gobert,
he really ain't like that. Like he got exposed. But they could have neutralized a lot of what Boston did, man. Because they're a little bit deeper too. So, but it is what it is, man.
Gobert is a true center. He's not today's game of I got to guard Luka. No, he goes down and guard the nigga that plays down low. So it wasn't that he got exposed. It's just that he got switched up on the wrong motherfucker.
He ain't built to guard a Luka.
Yeah, he's not supposed to guard the center. The nigga who's gonna try to do a post move. That's his defense. He's not supposed to be guarding a nigga who could dribble or a nigga who can shoot.
Yeah, the West was the ultimate matchups mattered so much because I've never seen an NBA playoff where a team beats like the champs in the second round. Minnesota beats Denver, right? To beat Denver, then just fall so flat to Dallas. I've never seen that before. Normally, if you beat the champs, you're at least going to the finals. I've never seen a team beat the champs, then lose in the next round and don't make it to the finals. Usually, if you beat the champs, you go into the finals.
Well, that's how the West is. You know what I'm saying? The West was just built like that, that all eight teams in the West could actually get to that finals because on any given day, shit could happen, you know what I'm saying? As good as Minnesota was, and I was rooting for them because I like the little young dude, you know what I'm saying, Ant-Man. It's just, when they got to Dallas, Jason Kidd kind of knew exactly how to get Ant-Man tired. Ant-Man gonna guard Kyrie, and we're gonna put our toughest defender on him. That shit gonna have him tired the whole game. Yeah. He couldn't do it. He like, oh shit, yeah, I got a guard. This nigga Kyrie did. They got they best nigga guard me. Yeah, this shit finna have me tied the whole game. You know what I'm saying? So Minnesota coach didn't adjust and say, well, listen, let's take Ant-Man off Kyrie. Let's try to make sure even if they best player is guarding Ant-Man, we keep him switching where Ant-Man doesn't have to use all his energy. And they got our coach. Luka was fucking amazing that game, you know what I'm saying? And the one thing I always say about him is I'd be like, man, if I was a player, I would always get the ball to make sure Luka's in front of me because that shit is so easy. Like, why the fuck you don't make Luka guard somebody who can score every game? Because
what is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Back 26 degrees, your Miami Hurricanes football barbershop talk. Glad to be here with you, man. It's your boy Larry. We've been out of here for a minute. We didn't really want to bombard y'all with the same old tired narratives and all this hype and stuff before the season, because if you football fanatics like us, you don't hear everybody else talk about the impact freshman and this, that, and the other, and the depth chart. And that's all good and well, but I ain't gonna lie to you, get a little bit tired after a minute. So we breathe for a minute, but we back. We definitely gonna get back on the weekly schedule once the season kicks around and right before the season as well. But yeah, we want to get back with the people, get y'all some more, some more topics, some more fodder. I definitely think y'all gonna love the pre-show. Hit us up, let us know what you think about that for sure. I love to hear the feedback on that one. But anyways, here with my main man, Meezy, fresh off the turnpike. He just got back from a extravagant trip down to Orlando, doing the real major. You know what I'm saying? They say he got the key to the city now. Say what's up to the people, Meezy.
Man, what it do, man? Turnpike Meezy in the building, man. I'm on summer break. First week on summer break, man. So I'm cooling, man. Living everything good with me, man. We got the real Field General X in the building. What it do?
What's up? What's up? Everybody doing, man? Happy June 10th. Well, we recording on June 10th. You know what I'm saying? We vibing. But we back, man. We back. Y'all be texting me and hitting me saying, when we coming, we back. Everybody meet me. He back, man. He not on prep right now, man.
So. Hey, I've been on a run now. I've been consistent.
We've been inconsistent, so how you been consistent?
You said what?
I said we've been inconsistent, so how you been?
No, because I had a little situation, but I feel like the last five episodes.
What her name is?
You
shouldn't
like
say that.
That.
You shouldn't say that. You should leave her innocent alone.
Even if it was, I ain't gonna spray
nobody,
man.
I know better than that.
Yeah, we back, man. We back, and to give y'all some. Some info and some things from my perspective. Getting closer and closer, man, to August 31st. So, but we back.
Yeah, D Rob hanging around somewhere in the background. He in the middle of work, so he'll probably pop in and out. Pause. And then we got main man Maul kicking in with us. I don't know if Maul gonna be vocal today or not, but he's around for sure.
I'll jump in here and there.
Yeah, it was funny the minute I say that he unmute and you hear the baby. Super dad. Yeah. Super dad's here. Yeah. He's doing his thing over there. So yeah, man. A couple of weeks in, we passed. We were actually now, see, we're kind of at that pendulum point, right? So now we're swinging to the other half of it's almost that time, man. August 31st. Kickoff, play the Gators.
When fall practice start?
First week of August.
Okay. Maybe the first week? Okay. So yeah, I mean, hell, you today, like he says, Juneteenth, we're recording. So you about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about six weeks out from fall ball, man. About 6 weeks out, and then you know, you'll take your little break, and then it'll be time to go to the swamp, kick their ass, and go ahead and get the rest of the season rolling, man. So it's time to get excited about football again. You know, I had to calm down for a little bit, take a breather, and be like, yo, wait till it's actually time for some football again. But we're getting close. The roster solidified at this point. Transfers is all locked in. Even those who want to go swing back to Georgia for a week or two, you know, or a day or two. The team forgave them, so I mean, I guess so. I did. I don't appreciate it, I'll be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Be a grown
man. I ain't like that shit at all.
Yeah, you signed the paperwork, man. Let's go. You ain't trying to sign the paper. And then the crazy part was like, oh, I can't. You know you can't, man. But damn, I thought we done got this worked out.
We ever found out like what that really was about?
Just the fact, my understanding was Michigan State bad about pulling people out the portal, they say, as far as like paperwork wise. So other teams, he still looked live. But at the same time, you know, it's already closed. So it's, you know, it was that basically. And I guess I'm assuming it was Mizzou was the school that was still, you know, trying to pull him in. I heard maybe somebody else as well. Another SEC team. I can't quite remember off the top of my head.
The real truth about it was, like I said, it was a communication standpoint where the father and the son wasn't communicating with the team as they should once he got down here. There was some things that they was expecting that they didn't communicate properly with. You know what I'm saying? And as soon as they got to workouts, it was like, well, okay, hey, you got to work out. But you're not the top dog in this room. You know what I'm saying? No matter if we wanted you, you're not the top dog in this room. You got to earn it. You can't just walk in and think you're going to get it. So it just, again, it was just big miscommunication. Yeah, teams were still trying to get at him and stuff like that, but he was already locked in, right?
Yeah, he had no choice.
To communicate with him, which they should have did also. They shouldn't just left like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. By them leaving, it was like, it made it look like Miami was in the wrong instead of both parties saying, well, we neither one of us are doing exactly what we're supposed to do.
To me, it didn't look like Miami was in the wrong at all. It just looked like kind of what Larry was saying, like the boy just starting to be like a little diva or something.
It wasn't so much of him, though. It really wasn't him, because he was locked all in. It was more so the father, man.
Man, this man is, what, 22?
24. 23? He got to be, like, 23, 24 years old.
It's time to break away from Pops a little
bit. These are the type of grown people we're starting to deal with, Larry.
That's true. That's true. Grown, yeah.
But they still need somebody to hold their hand and walk them through the door and say,
yeah,
hey,
they ain't never been on their own for real yet still in life.
But you know what? That just, and if I'm unfair and, you know, criticism of him, you know, forgive me on that, but it just speaks to the type of individual. I put it literally like this. Reuben Bain is what, 19? Maybe 20? I just don't think you see this out of him. I think his focus is different. His commitment is different. And I expect that out of a guy, you know, with 1 year left to try to get to the league and you know, rage is stopped. I expect a little more focus and a little more buy-in, because you was on a date. You weren't drafted. You chose this. So you chose.
And Ruben loved Miami. I feel like most of these transfers don't really necessarily,
and that's the difference,
love these schools too.
That's fair, and that's totally fair. But
they might. Some of them might not give a damn about the school, to be honest.
I don't think most of them do, and that's fine. Yeah. I mean, you hire a mercenary, but
it's about a second chance, getting money, having an opportunity to better what they got going on. He was presented an opportunity to come in, compete on a team that's going to compete at a high level for the ACC, and try to get to the next level after that. So it all looked good, and he was ready. You know what I'm saying? And then, like I say, sometimes, man, you know, hey, kid is grown, man. You got to say, man, listen, you should know how to interact with a coaching staff or a school. You know what I'm saying? You've been in school for this long. You know what I'm saying? Right. So if you don't know by now, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, just, that's all right.
You know what I'm saying?
They grow slow. Like you said, they grow slower than we did. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you've been around, you know, college for a minute. You've been around coaches probably your whole damn life, damn near. You know, it's time to, like, I don't want to hear nothing about no dad with a 22-year-old. I just don't want, like, I don't want to hear about your dad saying, like, bro, it's time for dad to get off them coattails a little bit and you start making, you know, your own decisions a little bit now. Now it's time to be like, well, Pop, this is what I'd like to do. You know, I've listened to you up to this point, but I'm a, you know, because it's the thing. You take your grown ass out there and you don't make no NFL money. He ain't gonna just be like, oh, well, come sit in my house and sit your ass here and you could just, no, that shit ain't gonna
be like, go get off your ass.
You gotta get your ass up out my house. Yeah. You grown. See, that's the thing. The narrative gonna flip if you don't take care of him. If you won't get that NFL money that they, you know, and that's what happens with way too many people. People start banking on other people's success. You start being like, oh, my nephew, my cousin, my brother, my dad. Nah, these be, I wouldn't even say dad, but like younger people. And people be putting all this pressure and all these expectations. NFL ain't easy. That shit ain't no joke. This ain't for everybody.
It's the hardest league in the world, damn near.
Exactly. So when I hear these type of things a lot of times, I just be feeling like, uh-oh, here we go, another coattail rider. And Barrow not listed like a top five DT right now if the draft starts tomorrow. So why would you
might not even be top 10.
Let him do what he want to do. Yeah, that's right. What I'm saying. Just let him do what he want to do. And if it goes well, it goes well, and he has an opportunity to go out and earn and do for himself. But I just be hearing these stories, and I be like, these people be waiting on these young men to do for them, and I just don't like it. It's just some shit that I hear way too often. And then I know I ain't wrong, because we done seen the story time and time and time again where, you know, the family members drain this, you know, first round pick draft, because everybody thought, oh, this the ticket, and we made it. And, you know, the kid ain't make but $16 million, and that was before taxes, and then, you know, bought this, paid for everybody.
That's mostly just an us thing, too.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's discouraging to hear in that sense, but he here, I expect him to be a starter more than likely. I don't see where he wouldn't be. And, you know, we'll rotate a lot anyways, I imagine, so.
But that's another thing, too, real quick, not to hold the topic up. He know damn well I'm probably going to be the starter. It's like a 90% chance. I don't need these folk to tell me you're going to be the starter.
Yeah, just go to work.
Like, he just got to know that shit. Like, looking at the fucking how it's set up. Right, that's what I'm saying.
They brought you in for a reason, but he'll know that he does. So, it would have been. I never really spoke my piece on it.
I'm going to tell you the crazy part, because and I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it. Fuck you. Yeah, they'll probably call me if they hear this and say, hey, fuck you going. But guess what? One thing how Miami is able to get kids a lot, they're basically telling them, like, listen, we're going to get you ready for adulthood. We're getting you ready for adulthood. When you go into these college towns, they kind of cater into you because you're still a kid.
Yeah.
You come to Miami, we getting you ready for adulthood. You just finna be around adults 24/7.
That's practical.
And all kind of distractions
for the rest of your life.
Right.
So that's something you could tell these kids, these grown men, and then they'd be like, oh yeah, let me go down there because I'm going down there for a year. Maybe they could get me prepared for what's gonna happen in the future. So
I think that's a good sales pitch too, because right, like you think about it. Remember when Mark Richt came, he started that program. You know, because he had the the guy at Georgia that basically ended up, you know, committing suicide. I'm sorry if I triggered anybody with that, but, you know, because he was at UGA, right? And football was everything. Football been his whole life. And guess what? At UGA, you a golden guy, you on that football team. But the minute it's over with, you ain't on that team no more. Where's the love at? Who cares anymore?
And you got somebody else are next too.
You gotta be mindful exactly that football is gonna end for, you know, 95% of y'all at this level. This will be the end for you. You won't play definitely at the NFL, or maybe you'll play a smaller league somewhere possible. But the chances are this is to be your last stop, and a lot of people aren't prepared for that. So I do like that, you know, he brought like that mentorship program, which, I mean, Miami kind of already seemed to have a strong network like that anyways. It was something he added at UGA, but he did supposedly bring something like that down to Miami too.
Manziel talked about all that in his 30 for 30. He was like, basically not like real life, what's going on. Like, it's like you in like a fairy tale land.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you in those small towns, like they said, like, You in Tuscaloosa, you the star running back. It's different from being the star running back in Miami. It matters in Miami, but it ain't the only thing in Miami. And Tuscaloosa, it's the only thing.
You and a god.
Everybody kissing your ass. You go to Miami, a lot of people still not going to know who you is. You be star running back, a lot of people still not going to know because there's so many stars around. So, again, it prepares you for, in the real world, a lot of y'all probably going to just be another guy. You just going to be a jag, and that's not horrible. You still, but people don't be mentally prepared for that. Because you've been getting your ass kissed since you was 10, and they kissed it all the way to 22, and now you 22 and nobody don't care no more because you don't play for, you know, the Washington Commanders or the Dallas Cowboys or whoever. Don't nobody care no more. And that could crush a person because their whole ego's been built their entire life. So, yeah, I do like that pitch, and I think that's, you know, excellent. I would personally use that myself anyway. Just be like, man, you better get ready for the real world. That's the best way to do it. You go out there in the country and hang out, and everybody love you. So they don't. Then what? Are you ready to stand on your own? That's why I like how we do our work in some of the, you know, like getting some of these Chicago kids. I want to talk a little bit about the Savannah kids. We'll see if we get any traction there. Being from Savannah, I know Savannah people. We not country. People be thinking we country. I'm like, we're really not country. We're just a small city. But it is a city. Like, when I was growing up, man, everybody wanted to come to Miami. Like, as far as, like, Miami is a destination for Savannians. Like, oh, we're going to Miami this weekend. We're big city people. We're from a small city, but they, you know, a lot of them crave to go enjoy big city life. So we might actually have a little better traction there than some people may think.
Georgia got a lot of Miami fans, period, especially like Atlanta, like you said, with the city thing.
Because you got a lot of transplants, yeah. But anyways, what the hell? Phone froze up.
But all the players outside of one, everybody's on campus. Martinez was soon. I think Martinez will be there next week.
This week, I think. It's supposed to be this week. Yeah, this
week he'll be there. So the whole team will be there. Not hearing any bad news about any injuries, hearing that everybody's fully going to be recovered by fall camp. You know, the big question is Mark Fletcher. Everybody's trying to figure out, is he going to be? I kept telling people Mark Fletcher was going to play too. He's playing this year.
He talks like, you know, he is.
I was told by some people that say he's not going to play, but yeah, he's going to play. He's going to play. Whether he starts the season or whether he's comes in the middle or way before the end, he's going to play. Even Zion Nelson is out there working out. I mean, that's the one that I'm just going to say until his ass get in the game. I'm just going to leave it at that.
This point, though, it's going to take him like a whole, like, how long to even get back right? Because that man ain't really, like, he had no football contact in, like, what, 2 years now? 2.5 years?
Well, yeah, he, I mean, But the, look, he's being coached by some damn good offensive line coaches. And I said this, and I said if he comes back to anything that he was before he got injured, it's going to be a major problem. Because, well, not a major problem for Miami, but for team, because just imagine.
That's another depth piece, too.
You can throw him back to left tackle where he was good. And now you can put the starting left tackle, which is Jalen Rivers, back at left guard.
Back at left guard.
He's looking at an offensive line that's fucking good. That might be the best in the nation.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people say, as well as Rivers has played left tackle, definitely got better. I remember spring last year when I watched him, I was like, what the
hell? Yeah, we were selling out. We were
I don't know about this shit. Yeah. And he did get better, but even when you project him, though, he's still projected as a guard. Zion at one point before the injury, people had him as a top 10 draft pick just based on his potential and what they expected him to do in his junior year, but then came the injury. And it's just set him back the entire time. So, yeah, I mean, X, right, if you could get him back, he would be like the secret weapon of all secret weapons. Because you got to remember, left guard was the one spot where we were a little bit a little questionable. Not bad. We just didn't know what we're going to do. But if you were to get back a Zion that was pretty damn good, then you could kick Rivers to his NFL position. It changes. Yeah, it changes the trajectory of that line. And he would only move there if he really was that good. You know, something to monitor. I want to watch, speaking of O-line, Markell Bell and see how his development continues to go. I'm hearing a lot of
good things. Oh, my gosh. Listen, when I went down there last week, man, and we down there, I'm talking to you know, all the legends and stuff like that. And he's standing next to Vernon Carey. If anybody know how big Vernon Carey is,
like 6'9".
He's a big individual. He's about 6'6", 6'5", 6'6". So Marquise Bell is next to him. Marquise Bell made Vernon look like he like 5'11" or something like that.
They got him listed at what, 6'8", 340, something like that? 330?
He might be the biggest hurricane I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, because you got Calais Campbell right there, what, about 6'7"?
Central Henderson was a big boy.
Central Henderson, he was big.
Yeah, he was out there.
Eric Flowers, he was big. Brian McKinney was probably the biggest I've seen, but until this guy came, he's the biggest. I don't think I've ever seen anybody bigger than Brian.
You seen him moving?
But, you know, they were just, you know, kind of playing around and stuff like that. They wasn't doing no drill because they was teaching and helping the camp. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
So, yeah, actually, let's get into that a little bit because we did want to record actually last week, but we had some scheduling issues. But X did get a chance, actually. I forgot all about that, to get down to Legends Camp. And Legends Camp, you know, is not exactly how it used to be because the way the NCAA calendar done moved things up. So, you know, we first kicked this off, man. When it was called Paradise Camp with Rick, man, that shit was, it was
insane. That was big time.
Electric, because, yeah, you had so many rising juniors, seniors, by the end of the senior year. And, you know, you saw fierce competition. We saw guys that, you know, went on actually to the NFL. Different, but it's kind of a different beast now with how the calendar's been moved. So now you got a lot more of the younger players. So you'll see less of your 25s come around. And this camp's really more about working your 26s and 27s, honestly.
Yeah, it's basically for the underclassmen. You know, because the 25, the top 25 players who they've came in 23. You know what I'm saying? They came in 22, 20, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So it's basically for the underclassmen, and it's also for the former alumni, the legends. And I'm gonna tell you, this year I think was probably one of the best as far as former legends. I seen some guys who I never thought would come back to the University of Miami, and they came.
I was just about to ask you that. Give me like one name of a dude that you was like, oh shit,
Santana Moss.
Man, I ain't heard about him at Miami in forever.
That's fact.
Never coming back to Miami. Guess what? Santana Moss is there. Sonoris Moss is there. The brothers, they, you know, they there. And I'm like, damn, this is big because they local guys who said they was never coming back to Miami. And they're back. So that was huge alone.
They ain't even report like what former alumni was there. Now I think about it for real.
Nah, I mean, hey, it was too many, man. It was guys from the 80s, the 90s, 2000s. It was just too many.
Yeah,
but you think that by Santana coming back, right? You think that it had a lot to do with KB being here on staff? Cause you know they was teammates. Weren't they teammates 1 year? I think it was 1 year they were teammates, right?
No, yeah, they were teammates for 2 years. And then you got to look at the fact that, you know, Mario was a coach on that staff also, Santana.
True.
And it's crazy. Anytime we get a commitment, every time we get a commitment, Mario uses Santana Moss. Santana Moss meme.
That's one thing a lot of fans don't, they feel that, you know, Mario was on that staff that helped recruit that 2001 national championship team. Mario was on that staff that had the 2010. He was on that staff. He was there. So a lot of people just think, well, Mario just got his recruiting because he went with Alabama. No, Mario was with the fucking coach who recruited the greatest team of all time.
Yeah, Mario did say when he first got the job, he won.
And everything. Yeah, the stuff that Mario does as far as recruiting is nothing new. It had nothing to do. Alabama just his skill set as far as recruiting, but he being
they knew what they was doing. That you know, and that's why I don't get into it with either Miami fans that's just way too down on Mario or the trolls that try to get down. It's like y'all don't want to have perspective. He didn't get scooped up by Nick Saban for nothing. He had already got promoted to assistant head coach. They did that to keep him because they knew the weapon he was. Nick was like, nah, I gotta have that. I need that South Florida plug. He needed it. He worked it to his full advantage. And then those tentacles could grow from there. But you know, people get so caught up. It's just so weird to me. Like, everybody gets so caught up in the moment and immediate. Well, we ain't, like I said, if it wasn't broken today, it ain't going to be fixed in a day. Miami been broken for, you know, 20 years. I don't know why you would think it's going to get fixed in two. And everything that was, you know, all the damage that was done would just be immediately repaired. You know, it would it have been fun to have, you know, 12 and 2 season and all this hype. We done that though. You know, we did that all the way to the ACC championship game and it was fun and it was all hype and the chain and, you know, you got TV pundits, oh, the U is back and I'm sitting there as a Miami fan going, no the fuck we ain't. But, you know, you take what you got.
Yeah, because Le'Veon, you got to think about it too, man. And it's just, man, I be hating to harp on the past, but you got to think about it, right? Al Golden was able to get Mario, right, as his offensive line assistant head coach, right? Could you imagine if these people weren't stubborn with money? Because we know it was a money thing, man. Nick, they opened up the bank for Mario to come. Man, can you imagine if we were able to hold on to him? Like, a lot of those recruiting classes and some of those kids, we wouldn't have went after. Because I know Mario would have been like, hey, man, this is what we going to do. And Al Golden would have rolled with it. It would have been a better caliber of player coming through the University of Miami if Mario was able to stay on that staff. And I hate to say it, like I tell people, I mean, it's a lot of what is, but Al Golden probably would have been the coach a little bit longer if certain shit would have fell into place.
Keep it a buck. I'm going to keep it a buck. I think. And some of y'all might hate me for this, but I don't care. I'm gonna keep it a buck. I think Al Golden's evaluation as far as talent was a lot better than
he was getting players put in that NFL. Yeah,
Al Golden players was going to leave.
Yeah.
Oh no, but I agree. I agree with you with that.
But you, Rod, you just mean like bringing a higher quality player in instead of having.
Yeah. Yeah. He would have brought in a higher quality. As far as South Florida, we could have landed a lot more South Florida kids than we did because, as you can see, like he tended to go kind of out of state into his roots, which was like the Northeast. You know what I'm saying? Like he went after a lot of those type of kids. But with Mario on staff, we know that he would have been like, nah, hey, I got this down here. Let me get this. A lot of them, man, we would have got a better caliber player. That we let get away around that time rate, them like 4 years or 4 years that he was in control, man, we could have landed quite a few of them players. I know damn well right. we would have got Amari Cooper. We definitely would have got him.
Yeah, damn right about that.
It is, you know, and that is what it is. So like we talk about living the past, but I mean, you can't. It is what it is. I only brought it up to say that have a little patience because this coaching shit. It's a process, and when you looking around, to me, it's not a lot of great options. You got one of the best ones out there. Just give it a little time, have a little patience, and continue to just wait out the process. You didn't get a scrub. This is a guy that has a lot of experience, been around a lot of winning at the highest level, both here and abroad. You know, working in other schools. Just hold tight, man. If you think he trash, I'll let you say that if the results
after this
don't
season,
come.
If
the results don't begin to come, then I'll be like, all right, maybe you're on the show. But I just think it's crazy to be like jumping off the ship already. It's like this is wrong with y'all last night.
Because his first real class is what just gonna be sophomores this year.
Right. Every 3 years you think we should go get a new coach. And that's fine, but you ain't gonna do nothing. You just gonna stay. We'll have an occasional crazy season where you go crazy, thump shit out of Notre Dame and Virginia Tech and everybody out and it's electric. That happened every few years, but then the reality gonna slap. You don't have the depth that it takes to really truly compete at the top level and be a national contender like you wanna be. The standard for Miami ain't good football. It's great football. It's championship caliber football. That's just what the bar is. This ain't Kansas State where, a couple of, 8-4 and then 10-2s and, knock off a big guy here and there. We're supposed to be the big guy.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to form. So, another
name that came former – I think Edgen James was elected to the Hall of Fame last year or the year before, right? One of them?
2 years ago.
Yeah, two years ago.
Edgen James, he's the had that's the homie, man. So I talk to him all the time when we see.
But Edgen James pretty much there doing any staff though. He just love being down.
No. Edgen James don't come there like that. He don't come there like that.
He rep, he always rep Miami.
He don't come back to campus or he's on campus now. He's coming back. He actually loves what Mario doing. He loves what Mario doing as far as getting the right players. He loves it. He's on board with helping them any type of way he can. Like I say, these are the type of former kings that started the movement of us getting back to where we used to be. What I'm saying? Santana Moss. You had Ed Reed. These are the players who know the mold of how to get back to. So when you start bringing these type of players back, it means a lot to
it's the always a combo. It's always the combo of your high caliber star players and, a guy like Santana. Turn out to be a star. You have to evaluate too. That's what people get lost a lot too. Yeah, of course. There ain't no evaluating a Justin Scott or a Leonard Taylor. There is no evaluating really a 6'5", 300-pound guy that's just tossing around kids at his age, right? And so that's the easy part. Where we, the best team ever assembled wasn't the number one ranked team when they came out of the recruiting course, you know, at the end of the cycle, when they was ranking the top recruiting classes, they weren't number one. They weren't number five. But it was the best evaluated talent that in a combo of some great players, put them all together and you got something special. So you do what you got to do to help create a culture. So it's good to see, you know, some guys that have been staying away, come back around. You know, I got
one thing a lot of the former players say, man, and they say this about Mario, they're saying, well, what he's doing is he's evaluating players that he know could play in the NFL. I think that's been the difference from the past staffs. You know what I'm saying? We just evaluating guys who probably would max out in college.
Right.
And probably won't do much of anything in the NFL. But Mario is getting guys who is going to be good in the NFL when they get there because, for one, the talent level, the way that body frame is set up, stuff like that. And then coming from the University of Miami, you know, Miami was an NFL pipeline. You know what I'm saying? We were sending 10, 12 players to the NFL every year. You know what I'm saying? Now we may get three. You know what I'm saying? And that's looking at Miami like, what the fuck we got going on? Only three?
And the first one, hell, now, this last year was good, and our first guy was off the board in the third. That's the best we've done in a little minute. And that was a third round. You know? I mean, so you got to look in the mirror and be realistic about what's happening. Shout out, Ed. I heard Ed was, you know, instrumental with Malik Bryant recruitment. Ed, yep. Ed being Orlando, like, heavy. You know, that's where he live at. You know, he a man of the people, so...
Hey, I'm gonna tell you, man. EJ probably might be our best recruiter, man. And cause if anybody met EJ is probably maybe one of the realest person you ever gonna meet because he's gonna keep it 100 with you all the time. He not gonna try to sell you a car. He's gonna be like, listen, you're gonna get down there, you're gonna work, everything gonna turn out good, you're gonna go to the league, and your life is gonna be great. He's telling you stuff just like that. And it's reality, because he's gonna tell you this is exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? And guess what? Now I got a gold jacket. So everybody looking at it like, damn, boy, that's real.
They say gold teeth, the gold jacket.
Him and Jahl Beeson, man, they did a hell of a job recruiting one of the best linebackers in the nation, man. And I'm telling you, I spoke with dude and his family, and I'm talking about, I think this might be the first time I had a smile on my face talking to a recruit. Like, everything he's telling me, I'm smiling because I'm like, damn, like, this is real.
Yeah.
Boy, hey, yeah. X, they about to find a spot for Duke Johnson, ain't it? They about to find a spot for him, like, because...
Duke Johnson going to be on the staff, man, and I could predict in a couple years, man, Duke is going to be a running back coach at some school, or he's going to be the running back coach at Miami.
Yeah, because I've been paying attention to behind the scenes with him, because I know he got his degree now. So, by him officially having his degree from the University of Miami, I guess he can be on staff or, you know, in that recruiting department somewhere just behind the scenes, learning the ropes and all that. But I can see eventually him taking over.
Yeah, I don't think you care much about is him being recruited. I think you be like, man, look, you get him as a coach because Duke was good. Duke was damn good once he got to Miami. You know what I'm saying? So Duke can show you what today's running backs are going to be. He could catch out the backfield. He could block. He could run. You know, he played special teams. He's going to come out and say, listen, I came here when times are rough, and I stuck it out, and I became one of their best backs of all time, went to the NFL, had a decent career. Now I'm back to help y'all, you know what I'm saying? So
what you think about the running back coach then? How has he been? I mean, he's one of the ones that we really haven't heard much about since we've got him. Yes, he landed the Pringle kid, but as far as, like, what you see on his coaching style and all that, like, what do you get from him?
Oh, he's good. He's good. I think, yeah, the players like him. The players like him. The coaches love him. He's business. He about business. You know what I'm saying? But he also is somebody that they could talk to and stuff like that. A good recruiter. I think, you know, with him, he gets he also has to understand that, you know, when you're in South Florida, you know what I'm saying, you can't, you kind of have the luxury of just saying, well, I don't really need to go that far for a running back. But obviously, you want to be a top recruiter, and you say, well, shit, I could go pick this running back up here. You know what I'm saying? He's, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, he's good. He's good. The new coaches who just got added to the staff, haven't heard anything bad about him. The only thing that was said that I kind of was like, oh, okay, well, you know, the defensive back coach, you know, because he does things the exact way that Gildrey wants it done. So my only thing there was, okay, does he have his own mind? You know how does it work? Is he only doing what Gildrey wants because he coached with Gildrey? Or is this exactly what he knows to play to the next level?
You mean, so like, he's not, like, you don't know if he's making, like, suggestions or, like, ways they should change stuff maybe or something?
Yeah. I think everything he's doing is because he's been told, hey, this, go this way.
But I think it's more of familiarity in the scheme and what we're doing than him, you know what I'm saying, not having his own mind. You know what I'm saying?
You can start crashing at times too.
Yeah, you can. But I think, like you said, he knows what Gildrey wants and stuff like that. So
one thing as a coach, one thing as a human being, you don't want no yes man. You can't keep having yes man. Guess what? You're gonna keep having some bullshit going on. It gotta be somebody to say, hey coach man, maybe this is the way we should do it, or can we at least think about doing it this way? Ain't no, yeah, coach, that's right. Yeah, coach. Yeah. I mean, well, goddamn, you gonna say yeah to everything I got?
You gotta have some pushback. You gotta have some pushback because that's how you steel sharpens steel, right? So you gotta have something to, you know, bounce ideas against the wall against. Like,